That makes me so glad I can be, as the song goes. And the reason is also given straight away. For my Savior is coming to take me home. That makes me so glad I can be. And if that is our joy, then it is a lasting joy. It does not depend on the weather, nor on whether it goes over highs and lows. It is a lasting joy that the Lord has placed in our hearts. In the word of introduction, we heard serious words. Every time we open the last book of the Bible, it seems to be particularly serious. I don't know if we all have the same impression, but when it comes to the last book of the Bible, you really want to take off your shoes and step into the presence of God in even greater awe and thank the Lord that He has counted us worthy as human beings to look into His plan of salvation. Who are we that He has pardoned us in such a way as never before, that we may see into the most secret thoughts of His heart and His will? A word came to me from 1 Kings 19, which we all know very well, of the prophet Elijah, who had experienced many things with God. And then also, as we find with him, he came from the highest peak of Mount Carmel into the deepest valley near Beersheba, and then suddenly said, "Lord, I want to die." He had just been on Mount Carmel and had experienced great and mighty things with God. And that was in chapter 18. And in chapter 19, we read here, "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" A strange text. After such a great victory, the Baal priests fell on the right and on the left. God had answered with fire, heard his prayer. It says here in chapter 18, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near." The word prophet is still written here. Later on, it was probably not emphasized so much. Then he was probably just Elijah. That can sometimes happen, right? That we are sometimes addressed with a title, and then later it can happen that the title is missing. Here, in any case, it is still there. "The prophet Elijah came near and prayed, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant.'" Of course, he didn't forget himself either. That's understandable. It was part of the overall program. And then it says, "And that I have done all these things at thy word." An enormous certainty speaks from these words. It is no longer a human being who is speaking here, But God has spoken through a human being, and the same God has also answered and has also confessed to what was said. But then later, here in chapter 19, also very interesting, when he then came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, he left his servant there. He wanted to die alone. When he had the victory of God, there were many people there. But when he wanted to die, he left his servant behind and thought to himself, he doesn't need to witness all this. He should have the last and most powerful impression. He should remember the climax of my ministry. I am now going into the wilderness. Just imagine, from Mount Carmel, from the most powerful experience with God, from God's answer of victory, and then into the wilderness. He leaves his servant behind, and it says here, a day's journey, he went into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. He certainly needed a bit of shade, and that suited him just fine. And then it is written, and he requested for himself that he might die, and prayed. If a person wishes to die and then can still pray afterwards, then things are still okay. Then God still has a way to go with that person. Elijah was a man who suddenly got into a situation, wished to die, but did not quarrel about anything, and became displeased with all the people and with God. But he prayed. Thanks be to God for every man who is still able to pray in the situation he has arrived at. For then God will still reveal himself to him, and perhaps afterwards in a mighty way as before. This is a very beautiful story, and perhaps a lesson for all of us. You hear it from the mouth of believers. I want to go home. I want to die. Have you ever heard that or said that? Of course, we hear this again and again. Don't be so pious. Again and again we hear these things. But our question now is, do we do what Elijah did? He wanted to die, but there is nothing in between. It only says, and he prayed. He wanted to die and prayed. It literally says that he wished to die and prayed. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. If we read the whole story further, which we all know very well, we can see that the Lord had to wake him up with power so that he would eat at all. He went with a firm resolve in his heart. This is the end of me. I'm dying. I'm going into the wilderness. He didn't take food with him, but the Lord provided. An angel gives him a push, and suddenly he looks around and sees there are freshly baked cakes. They are still hot. He says, what is this? I'm in the wilderness under this juniper tree, and here are freshly baked cakes, and they are still hot, like you just took them out of the oven. And next to him is a pitcher of ice-cold water. Not so bad. It goes together nicely. One is still hot, and the other is very cold. Our God is a wonderful God. He is also with us on the path of despondency and leads from the mountain to the valley and from the valley back to the mountain and reveals himself to his people and even with Elijah. And that makes me happy that he was also a human being like us. And also this thought, before the prophet Elijah, and later he seems to be only Elijah, and he wants to die and says, Lord, I am no better than my fathers. Take my life. Let it be enough. You know the story. You can read it. The Lord preserved him. He saw that he had a firm intention to finish with his life. But God had a very different intention with his life. It doesn't matter at all what you and I resolve to do in the hour of need or inner despondency. What matters is what God has set out to do with our lives. Isn't that a wonderful thing? For me, and I think for all of us, that is a truly uplifting thing. If it wasn't for these stories written in the Bible, and you heard a believer say, oh, I would rather die, or I could die, then you would say, what's the point? But I say again, God had his plan and his way with his servant. He had set out, and he went. He left his servant behind and thought, I'll sort this out with God myself now. I don't need anyone else to see and hear that. We sometimes feel that way too, but thanks be to the Lord. Even the person who wants to die, the angel gives him a push and says, open your eyes, here is bread and here is water. Eat, for you have a journey ahead of you. There is still a job to be done. Your ministry is not over yet. Don't worry. It goes on. And truly, it went on with Elijah. It goes on with you. And it goes on with me. It goes on with all of us, with the help of the Lord. And we had seen it already last weekend. The Lord let some wind from above come under our wings. We have already been lifted up a little. And the Lord is calling out to us today, not what we have planned will happen, but what He has planned with us will happen. And for that we want to give glory to His name. Imagine that what we want would happen. Dear me, everyone would want something different, and in the end we wouldn't know what we wanted. But God knows exactly, with each individual, with His servants, and with His church, and we can trust Him completely. Now comes the 40 days that He walked, and then He came to the mountain of God. And that is the place we would like to come to. We want to get to the mountain of God, where we don't just see Baal priests falling down, but where we see the glory of God before our eyes. We want to get to the point where we shall see the comeliness of the Lord. And get to the point where then the soft and gentle whispering voice of the Lord goes out to us. Here, in verse 11, it is written, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. It was such a mighty thing. He saw the effect with his own eyes. The wind, the storm rent the rocks and the mountains. But the Lord was not in the storm. He may have been a very short time behind, but he was not in the storm. But it was already the forerunners of his divine revelation. When it says here that the Lord was not in the storm, it does not mean that the storm came from the enemy side. The storm came from God. But these were only the signs of divine revelation in the life of this man of God. Sometimes such a storm comes upon our lives and we ask, is the Lord even still in it? And we think it's tearing everything up left and right, and the pieces are flying around. And how do you think Elijah felt when he saw the impact of that storm? He could have cried out with all his might, "My God, what is going to happen here now?" For the rocks were torn apart and the mountains, everything was moved. It literally says here, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks. Such a mighty thing. And this man is standing there watching and waiting for the things to come. But he knew the Lord had not forsaken him. He took care of him. Even when he wanted to die, he made sure he was kept alive and stayed alive. Until he got to this point, as just said, that the forerunners of the divine revelation in his life passed him by. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Do you know what is strange about this whole story? All that preceded this still small voice must have been so powerful in its effect that Elijah could have been dumbfounded. But now we read in verse 13. So first of the still small voice, and when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. Not when he saw the rocks being rent, not when the mountains were breaking in pieces, not when the fire, when all these things were passing by, he had his eyes open, looking around, looking at all the things, what was going on. Surely that would have been the time to hide somehow. Those would have been moments when the fire came to get a fright. He was looking at everything, and suddenly, after all these mighty things, there comes a still small voice. And when this man of God hears the least of all the things that had gone before, outwardly the least, no fire, no rocks were breaking in pieces, nothing at all world-shattering happened around him. A very soft and gentle whisper. And suddenly, he covered his face with his mantle. What was it? He knew that all this had preceded the Lord. But now He himself is coming. And at that moment, he has covered his face. It literally says, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? The Lord knew exactly what he was saying and what he was asking. The answer is, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Yeah, he left out one thing. It is exactly true what he says here. He was very jealous for the Lord. He has done everything he could do for the Lord. But after he had done everything, this Jezebel made a threat and it got into his bones. And he thought, my God, now it's my turn. So, before my life is taken by others, I would rather die myself. One threat from one woman. I don't know how Ahab put up with her. God certainly wasn't gracious to him about it. But one threat, and a man goes into the wilderness and says, Lord, I want to die. Take my life. It is enough. Brothers and sisters, when a trial comes into our lives, then it can happen to us that we forget the greatest blessings we have experienced with God. Could he not have remembered that the same God who was with him on the mountain top of Carmel, that he can send his angel and give this Jezebel one from the right and one from the left, that she falls down on the road and then all is well? What had happened? Suddenly, he was the Elijah, not the prophet Elijah, but just Elijah. A prophet's ministry is never in vain, even if he thinks he's left alone. God never lets his word return void. It always accomplishes what it was sent to do. And when we think we can't go on, and we go into the wilderness, then we say like David in Psalm 139, even if I went to the end of the sea, you, O God, would be there, and even there your hand would guide me. Elijah experienced it, but he did what he did with a sincere heart, and God lets the upright succeed. The first hint was already when he lay down to sleep, and most probably he could sleep very well, because the angel had to really wake him up with a thud. And then he saw the freshly baked bread and the water. And he knew immediately, one moment please, God does not want me to die. God wants me to live. Here is bread, and here is water. And the voice says, arise and eat. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. Can you imagine? That's us as human beings. He already saw the supernatural that God practically put in front of him. And that should have told him, man of God, your hour to die has not come. Bread speaks of life, and the water speaks of life. Thou shalt not die, but live. And he ate, and lay down to sleep again, in the hope he won't wake up on earth, but there. And a second blow comes, and he says, be rational, eat and drink, for you have a great task, which God will do through you. And what shall I tell you? Elijah understood that it was the Lord who had a plan for his life. And he took new courage. And he ate this food. And then he was able to walk for 40 days without getting tired or weary. So this was a very powerful food sent directly from above. And it gave him the strength to go in the name of the Lord to have this experience with God. When we sometimes get to the point of being struck down, it is not for God's sake, but for man's sake. And Elijah had to understand that too. With God, he had the mightiest victory on Mount Carmel. There he could say, "Today it shall be known that you are the true God in Israel, and I am your servant." He was 100% sure of his course. Later, he became Elijah, the man. And yet, he had to realize God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He had to submit to the Word of God and the plan of God. Do we have any other choice? Is there a person among us who could say, "Now I'm dead. I don't want to go on living"? No one can do it. And when we are about to say it, God takes little notice. He says, "Thou shalt live by the strength of the food I give you." If we take God's word as food and understand that our life of faith cannot always be on the mountain heights, but that it goes from the heights again through the valleys and from the depths over the heights, that is our life. And we have to understand that every time we are led into the wilderness, God can reveal himself to us anew and more powerfully afterwards. You know what? The thing on Mount Carmel, there Elijah watched what God did, but later it affected him personally. He wasn't just a man watching what was happening. He was a man who was now being personally addressed. And as I just mentioned, he didn't cover his face when the storm tore the mountains apart. He might have folded his arms like that and looked at it, but he realized the presence of God. When the storm, when all the things were over, the fire with all that preceded the thing, the gentle whisper came, and already his face was covered. It was mentioned before, even the cherubims, they cover their face in the presence of God. And we see, when this man of God heard the presence of the Lord approaching, he covered his face. That's how it is in the presence of God. There is no one to lift up his nose. We all look to the dust from which we have been taken and look up to the one who has pardoned us and who will not let us get away with our own ways. Just imagine if God had let Elijah through with his own agenda, he would have gone into the wilderness and surely died. But God had his way with him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Not what you want and not what I want, but what God wants must happen, and it will happen. It is not just written, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is not just a sentence that hangs in the air. It's a thing that must and will become a reality here on earth. Is it true or not? There is no other way. That is the lesson we may each take from this incident. that even after the greatest blessings, God does not let us go our own way, even if we almost went into the wilderness. He finds us there, and His hand leads us back, and He provides for us so that we do not perish. And when we look back, it almost looks as if we have wandered through a wilderness. But this we must say, God has preserved us. Praise be to His glorious name. Sometimes you could feel how fresh the word was that was shared with us, right or not. You could notice it was hot. It was fresh. It was not a stale thing. How many times during our wilderness wanderings, God Himself gave a word fresh from the throne and revealed it and spoke to us so that our hearts burned and still remembered the water to quench our thirst. As He has said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But that was a thing that Elijah had not done. God had provided that. And that's the big difference. We have reached the point where we can do nothing. We are dependent on God. He couldn't just go to a bakery in the wilderness to get bread. After all, he wanted to die. What is the use of bread? But the Lord had a way with him. The Lord has a way with the church at this time. Praise be to His wonderful and glorious name. May the storms have passed, that the rocks have rent and the mountains split. May many things have been torn apart and things gone haywire. And even we have seen and heard it and experienced it. Even many things have gone before. But one thing is certain, the last will be the glorious, for that is the direct presence of Almighty God, who revealed Himself to the man who had to endure all that. In one way or another, he must have been of good cheer, for he was quite calm and looked at the matter. It didn't affect him that much. But the Lord led it in such a way that the moment He approached him, he understood what it was all about, and already he covered his face. You know, this speaks of the humiliation, of the humility of a man in the presence of God. And if we have the right attitude before God now, after the wandering in the wilderness, and if we understand that it was God who kept us alive, and it would have been bad for anybody after what had come upon us, after wandering through the wilderness, if the Lord had not provided everything for us, is it true or not? And that's how we see the love of our God. I would almost say that just as Elijah was supernaturally preserved in the natural and in the spiritual, so we in the past have been supernaturally preserved in the natural and in the spiritual by the grace of our God. And then we have no need to thank any man. Elijah could not run to a neighbor, to a preacher, to anyone and say, I thank you for this or that. The angel, he was gone in a moment and he was back again. And the food was there, the drink was there. He only had to thank one, and that was the living God, who had guided and arranged everything with him. Where shall we go? Only you have words of eternal life. And that is why we come to the Lord and thank Him. May the wilderness be behind us. And all these things that have so torn and wrought mischief and have been as we have read, may they now be passed, that we might inwardly attune ourselves to the direct presence of our God and bow our heads before Him and humble our hearts and realize what a grace it is that He has preserved us. We would all have perished spiritually if He had not made sure that we had food at that time. There was a drought on the whole earth, but God made sure that His Word, revealed through the Holy Spirit, became our food. We have been kept alive, and we are here today to thank God for that. And when His presence descends, after all that has been, let us recognize it and bow down with head and heart in His presence and receive it gratefully. Elijah got his lesson, and we got our lesson. It is important that we have understood it and that we realize that the journey with a man of God and also with a church does not end in the wilderness, but in glory. The way of the prophet Elijah was not meant to end in the wilderness. It was meant to end with God in glory, because that's who he served, and that's where he belonged, and that's where he went. We have served our God. We have consecrated our lives to Him. We do not belong in the wilderness that we may perish in it, but that we may behold the glory of God. Is that not a wonderful thing? Earthly, we all belong sent into the wilderness, but from God's view, we belong to Him. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and then I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Elijah did not belong in the wilderness to come there and die. No, to have a new experience with his God. Do you understand that? He wanted to die, but God wanted to reveal himself to him anew. We would have said long ago, my God, if not for the sake of this or that, then I would do many things. One can say a lot, but it's not about what we say. The eyes of the Lord pass through all the lands and are upon his people, and he directs our steps, and he lets us go up to a certain point. And then he says, now you are finished, and I may begin. When we are finished, God may begin. One would have thought that a man of God, he can only speak of Mount Carmel, of Horeb. Everywhere on the mountains, he will appear with very powerful experiences with God. And suddenly we hear him with an experience in the wilderness. How wonderful are the ways of our God. Who wants to describe them? Who wants to tell him how our ways should be? But one thing is certain. Our way is not meant to somehow end in despair or death. Our way is meant to transform our hearts and our being, and at the end of our journey, our bodies will be changed, and we will be taken up like Elijah into the glory of God. This is what we are destined for. Praise be to the name of the Lord. I rejoice in this word. I didn't know what to preach tonight, but every word of God as the Holy Scripture tells us, is given for instruction and edification, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this man's experience is also a great blessing to me and to all of us. It did go into the wilderness, but that was not the end. It was a new beginning to a new revelation of the living God in his life. And he had to realize, it is not I who have preserved myself here, but God who has preserved me. I wanted to die, but God wanted me to live. Yes, what God wants to happen, that must happen. Praise be to his glorious name. He has given us eternal life by grace. And when it goes from the mountain top into the wilderness, and you all know what a desert looks like, there's really all hope buried. Everywhere you look, you see the same thing, the same hopelessness. But blessed is the man with whom God can be as he was with Elijah. And I believe that the Lord is with the church. I believe that he has provided for us. And I believe that he is opening our eyes now, that after the wilderness wanderings, there must be a new revelation of God in our lives. With God, all these things are possible. Don't you worry. You can say 100 times, I can't anymore. And you can say, Lord, I don't want anymore. It's really enough for me. I can't anymore. Just go to sleep. Don't worry. The push is coming. There's bread, freshly baked. There's water. We eat and drink and grow strong again. And praise the name of the Lord our God for his goodness. What do you think how Elijah felt like? He wanted to die, sleep and die. Nice thing. And suddenly, there's the bread, still hot. He can eat it. He knew this was God speaking. This is where the Lord has a hand in it. He wanted one more time. And the Lord didn't let up. He had a way with him. God has a way with us. Whether we get it the first time or the second time, let us realize and believe once for all that God has preserved us and that he does not want the church to end in defeat, but in the greatest victory and triumph of all time, that we will be taken away from this earth. One could go further and come to Revelation 12. The woman fled into the wilderness, not the man-child. The man-child was caught up to God and to his throne. What happens afterwards is not our concern at all. We are focused on what happens before. And before that happens the transformation and the rapture, the taking away of those who have put their trust in the living God. And that is us tonight. We have put our trust in the living God. We can no longer put our trust in ourselves. The wilderness experience has taught us that enough. We have understood that. We put our trust in the Lord alone. And we no longer desire death, but divine life. Whoever wishes for death wants to die. Those who desire life, life from God, have understood that the wilderness is behind them and a new revelation of God is at hand. And then we confidently let everything pass us by. And I hope that this has also already happened. And that we then come to the entrance of the cave, coming out of our hiding place, confidently coming out, and not only hear and perceive the Lord in his impact that goes before him, but experience him in his power. And that is his direct presence, not just the things that he sends ahead, but what happens in his presence. And I mean that here in the service, we can experience the Lord also tonight. Here we are safe. Here we are not in the wilderness. Here we come into the presence of the living God and say, Lord, you have sustained us. You have led us step by step. We might have wanted to give up, but you didn't want to. We might have died, but you wanted us to live. Now we are here. Lord, where do we go from here? Elijah no longer needed to worry. He only needed to go the way of God. And the experiences came on that way. So it is with us. We need not worry about what is to happen. We only need strength of divine food to go forward. And in that way, in that going forward, we will be able to experience the blessings of our God again and again. Elijah wanted to die. God wanted him to live because he still had something planned for him. I dare say, God still has something planned for the church. And don't be angry with me if I make this remark here tonight. There are people who are waiting for Brother Branham to come and have a tent and have a meeting in it. I'm not waiting for that. And they say that will happen after the resurrection. I am waiting for the Lord to reveal himself before the resurrection in his church, not just in one place, but worldwide, as the risen one with his resurrection power. Everything that people wait for is in vain anyway, unless God has promised it in his word. And that which he has promised, he is responsible for. And he keeps it. We can rely on that. What people wait for, what they interpret, has never been of great value. And not in this time either. Happy is he who can trust the Lord. Even when you think you can't go any further. So we see, God has made a way through the wilderness. That is our lesson tonight. And with that, I would like to conclude. The way of God goes over heights and through depths. After the lows, we have to realize anew that it was the grace of God that brought us to the heights and that brought us out of the depths. So, whether over the heights, whether through the depths, it is always the grace of God to which we owe everything. And he started it, and he will bring it to completion with all of us by grace. Praise be to his glorious name. Did you get new courage? This is not just a story in the Bible. It shall come true in my life. It shall come true in your life. We have a right to go forward by the power of the divine food we have received until the next revelation of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.